Turn to the Gospel of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Because he belonged to the house and line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I would love to go viral. Now, some of you know what that means, and other of you are saying, why do you want to be a disease and spread to people and kill them? No, when I say I want to go viral, if you are familiar with the internet, there is this term called going viral, and typically it starts off with a video. It starts off with a video that someone sees and they like. It's funny or it's amusing or it's interesting. And what they do is they share it with all of their friends, and then all of their friends share it with all of their friends, then all of their friends share it with all of their friends. And at the end of the day, you're talking about millions of people have watched this video. You'll see videos on Facebook. You'll see some of these videos even replayed on popular TV shows like the Today Show or Good Morning America, Fox and Friends. One of my favorite viral videos from the past couple of years features a woman who goes by the name of Sweet Brown. How many people know about Sweet Brown? Sweet Brown was in a community, and I think her apartment complex caught on fire, and so a news team was dispatched to the area, and they interviewed Sweet Brown, and this is what we got.
One resident describes her horrifying experience when she first realized the complex was on fire.
Well, I woke up to go give me a cold pop, and then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
According to the apartment...
Sweet Brown. Now there's something to say about these news teams that go out to go get witnesses, and I think they scour around and says, no, they look too normal. They look too normal. There she is. Let's get her words, you know, and listen, we've laughed at this woman for months and months and months, but let me tell you something. Sweet Brown is laughing all the way to the bank, because she has parlayed that segment not only into other commercials and other forms of media. She's been on The View. She's been on all types of different shows, and she's getting paid. Here's one of the commercials that she shot since that video was shot.
Sweet Brown, can you tell us what happened?
Well, I woke up to go get me a cold pop, and then I realized my tooth was hurting. Then I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a toothache. Ain't nobody got time for that. So I called Shoreline Dental, and they got me in the same day. Now I got time for that.
Put your dental care on the right track, Shoreline Dental.
Everybody got time for that.
The goal of trying to get Sweet Brown was to get an eyewitness account. It's eyewitness news, okay? Eyewitness news, that is the moniker of several local news stations. Every city or town, the town I grew up in, had one of the local stations that was called, you know, Eyewitness News. For me, it was Channel 7, Irv Weinstein and the I-Team. It was a way of declaring that we are going to bring you news and we will exhaust every effort to not only tell you what's happening, but we will find people who saw the actual events and we will ask them for their versions of the story. Now, that was attempted when it came to Sweet Brown. Yet the focus left the story. That was what they came to get, right? The story wasn't... Wasn't there a building that caught on fire? What happened to the building? What happened to those who were injured? What's on the mind of the guy behind Sweet Brown who was pacing seamlessly in emotional anguish? The purpose of eyewitness testimony is to get to the heart of the story, correct? The goal of eyewitness testimony is to take us right to the location. What happened when the Messiah was born? We go on location to hear the eyewitness testimony of some of the characters from the birth narratives. We will hear from an angel, a shepherd, a female prophet, an old man full of hope, and we will hear from Mary and Joseph. Now, as we explore the scripture narratives, I pray we will not lose focus for one moment. I pray that we will see and feel the power of one of the greatest moments in history. Will you pray with me? Holy God, here we are to worship, and we pray that you would open our minds, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our hearts, so that we will know that you are God, that we will see that you are God, and that we would feel that you are God. And Father, for this powerful event that took place so long ago that has literally changed the course of mankind, we give you an abundance of thanksgiving this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Gospel of Luke is a gospel that prides itself on getting the most in-depth information regarding the life of Jesus. Just listen to the introduction to this gospel, Luke chapter 1, verse number 1. He writes, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have taught." Those who were first eyewitnesses, Luke writes. Luke's birth narrative, that's the story of Jesus, is certainly a detailed narrative. While the Gospel of Matthew and Luke share some information, Luke goes into greater detail. Luke introduces people like Elizabeth and Zechariah and the parents of John the Baptizer. Luke is a determined writer trying to link not only the story of Jesus, but historical figures like Caesar Augustus and Quirinius. And while only mentioning those guys' names, something bigger is at play as Luke sees their actions as playing roles in the fulfillment of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, the city of David. The text says, "While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." The news Jesus is born. Read all about it. It's breaking news. The Messiah has arrived, and this is great news, the most wonderful news to be experienced in a long time. Church, you have to understand that the Jews in this time period were miserable. Now there was peace in the land. There were no wars, and except for an occasional razzing by the Romans, the Jews were, they were okay. The Roman government was mostly concerned with peace and collecting taxes to continue to build and expand their empire. You see, the purpose of the census wasn't to gather a group of people and get some numbers to get the breakdown of nationalities and how many people in this town. The reason for the census was to make sure that they were collecting the most taxes that they could collect. But the Jews were a people who had fallen hard. You see, they were once a prominent nation. They were once a prominent people. King David built a kingdom that was strong and spiritual. But sin against God led the people away from grandeur. And as a result, they would now live in subject to other nations. First it was the Assyrians, and then it was the Babylonians, and then the Persian Empire the Jews were subject to, and then the Greeks ruled next, and now they were under the rule of the Roman Empire. For an observant Jew, they were fully aware that Jehovah was preparing someone to rise up and be king again, the Messiah. In their minds, God would be bringing a Messiah to the world to restore Israel to prominence. Regardless of what exactly everyone understood about the Messiah, any word that the Messiah was here or was born would be tremendous news. In Luke's account of the Messiah's birth, two sets of characters come into play initially. Angels and shepherds. Verse number 8 of Luke chapter 2. It says, and there were and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with an angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. I wish we could hear from one of those angels. I wish we could transport 2,000 years into the past with a microphone and ask an angel for an eyewitness account. I wonder if it would sound something like this.
For thousands of years, I have delivered God's message to earth. At times, what he speaks is personal and intimate. Other times, his voice is mighty and strong to be heard by any who choose to listen and change. Every time, his words are exact, true, perfect. When the maker of heaven and earth takes a moment to speak, it is more wonderful and beautiful than any being could possibly express. It is with this joy that I proudly proclaim his messages. Over time, he has chosen a specific group of people to speak to. Israel is his beloved and the storyteller of his plan unfolding on earth. There once lived a girl by the name of Mary. The message God intended for her was one of astounding significance, not only for her, but for everyone for all of eternity. The message Gabriel brought to Mary sparked messages for shepherds and wise men and people who would live for centuries after her part of the story ended. I was part of a company of angels that participated and celebrating the arrival of the Messiah. I was chosen to share this great news with some shepherds. It might seem odd that we were instructed to speak to shepherds because many didn't trust them. But it made sense to us knowing that King David himself was once a shepherd. And here we were in the city of David, announcing the arrival of a king. But while the task of delivering good news was our primary function, even we couldn't hold back. The other angels joined me and we sang like never before. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. We praised God like we were the only ones there. We left and returned to heaven. Our work that night was finished, and now it was up to the shepherds. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever.
For the record, I asked the angel to sing a song, and that angel said, no way. The word angel simply means messenger. These celestial beings carried the message of God and delivered them to mortals. All of the time, mortals met with angels. They met them with great fear. You never read of a person's encounter with an angel, and they were like, whoa, an angel. Which gives me this understanding that the presence of an angel wasn't something that was viewed, but something that was terrifying. All the time, angels had to say to the people, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. That kind of debunks the myth that angels are pretty and blonde with wings and fly and woo, and demons are ugly. No, angels are terrifying creatures that appear to men and women and they frighten them. They come with a message, and usually you see the fear turns into an awe-stricken experience. And that's what happened here with these shepherds. These shepherds were stricken with awe as they witnessed a heavenly praise team, a choir of angels who couldn't resist a moment to worship God for what he had done. They celebrated with shouts of praise to God in the highest. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. They sung and they worshiped. If angels who were celestial and live in heaven and who are so close to God couldn't hold back from worship, what's stopping us? You see, an appropriate response to the presence of a king is worship. When we come to understand the ramifications of the entrance into this world of the Messiah, church, it's time to worship. The Messiah was coming to turn this world upside down. The Messiah was coming to reverse the misfortunes of this world. The Messiah was coming to reign like no other king has ever reigned. He wasn't coming to oversee the distribution of revenue in the treasury. He was coming to give people a purpose for living. He was coming to, not coming to command military. He was coming to fight battles that we could never fight on our own. Such great news. And the angels said to themselves after sharing this news, let's worship. And what about those shepherds? What about those characters that saw this cosmic worship service? How would they respond? Do we have an eyewitness account from a shepherd? What would one of those shepherds say?
We were frightened and excited at the same time. First, there was one, then a multitude. It all started when we were minding the sheep one night. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood before us, and immediately we were surrounded by a bright white light. The star-studded night was no match for the light of the glory of the Lord. We were terribly frightened. We didn't even dare move an inch lest we sinful men come into contact with the glory of God's holiness. Then the angel proclaimed, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior is born today? Christ the Lord is born today? Yes, this is indeed good news of great joy. All our fears faded, replaced with excitement. We have been waiting for years for a Savior. According to the angel, the Savior will be born in the city of David, in Bethlehem. And we will recognize him as he would be wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly a multitude, hundreds of them, a choir of angels singing a song of praise to God, such singing we have never heard before. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. The angels disappeared as suddenly as they appeared. We remained silent till our eyes slowly adjusted to the dark of the night. Then all at once we began talking about what we had heard and saw. We hurried to Bethlehem to search for the child. It wasn't easy, knocking on doors, asking if there was a newborn within and one who meets the descriptions. More and more people in Bethlehem were excited about the news, and quite a number joined us in the search for the child. We found him, just as the angel said, lying in a manger wrapped in cloths. Since then, we share with everyone we meet what we had heard and seen, that the one whom we were waiting for has finally come, and they all pondered at these things.
Luke chapter 2 and verse number 15 says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The angels shared this great news with the shepherds, and then they worshiped. The shepherds went to see what the angels told them. They went and shared the news, and then they worshiped. The news of Christ went viral. Before YouTube, before Facebook, before Instagram, before Twitter, the news of Christ's birth went viral. So it's appropriate to worship and equally appropriate to share the news. And God used characters who were not particularly credible witnesses. Shepherds in this day and age could not be trusted. They couldn't, according to the rabbinical law, testify in court because their testimony, being called as a witness at a trial, their testimony was deemed unreliable. They were known to be liars. Yet on the outset of history's greatest birth, they were the first mortal witnesses. The presence of the King, the Messiah, church, get this, is for everyone. Not just kings, not just nobles, not just the rich, not just the privileged. The entrance of Jesus, the King, took place in humble surroundings with a young, unwed mother and a man who probably still felt the sting of the weird circumstances regarding the pregnancy of his fiancée, his bride-to-be. God's plan to be with us in the Christ unfolded in a narrative with characters who had reason to think that they weren't good enough for the task that they were chosen. But God's plan to announce the good news, peace and salvation, involved the marginalized, the poor, the liars. The Gospel of Luke places a huge emphasis on the kingdom of God and its ministry to the poor, the sick, the weak, and those who live in the margins. And at the birth of Christ, that emphasis was set in motion. And so, church, 2,000 years later, we continue the work of the lowly shepherds in proclaiming the good news of the Messiah and his kingdom. We continue the loud and thunderous applause of heaven as we worship the King, not only in song, but also in lifestyle. And we continue to proclaim the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah, who preached, "For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And we continue to celebrate a king who established a kingdom of peace, of justice, of righteousness, not a kingdom of terror and plunder and hate. Fred Craddock, one of my favorite theologians and preachers, he wrote this. He says, "The heavenly hosts sing of praise, that wholeness of life which God grants to persons and societies through a restoring of balance in all the forces in creation which influences our lives." That sounds like a lengthy and a rant and all these words that you might not understand, but what he simply said is that Jesus Christ is the answer for the world today. And that's why we are summoned like the angels, like the shepherds, to go and tell and worship. So, church, prepare the way. Prepare him a room in your life today. There may not have been room for them in the inn, but church, we've got to make room for him in our lives. Worship the Lord with gladness and go and tell somebody. And if you have to be animated like Sweet Brown, just do it. But don't lose sight of the focus. Whatever your story is, whatever the story is, whatever presentation you use, whichever style you use, whichever setting you tell your story, tell the story, make sure that the focus remains on Jesus Christ. So that people see through the story told the message of God. That he is here with us. He is Emmanuel. That he is Wonderful Counselor. That he is Everlasting Father. That he is Almighty God. That he is bringing peace. And he is bringing justice. And he is bringing righteousness. And he is bringing love. And he is ready to turn this world upside down. And he is ready to turn your life upside down. He is trying to change things in your life. He wants to be the king. Not of this universe. He wants to be the king of your life. So, church, in response to this great, great news, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is here. May we applaud with the angels. May we praise with the angels. Glory to God in the highest. And may we, like the shepherds, who couldn't testify in court about who stole this or who did that. They couldn't go to court to tell that, but they could go and tell the greatest news to ever hit the earth. So may we be like the shepherds and go and tell that story. I pray that you would journey with me, that the church would journey together in this season of Advent as we look forward to celebrating that moment that Christ was born. there's anything that the church can do for you, if we can pray for you, if we can help you tell the story, if we can help you in a struggle that you're having, we want to invite you to come as we stand and sing this song.